This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to the artists play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Iron and Wine. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Russ Boris at WFUV. I was just thinking about this. Yes, you're the host of this episode, but I also want us to tell everybody who listens to the show that you book every single artist that people hear on this show. So let's just start with that.
It's mostly why I'm not the host.
But you hosted this episode.
I did.
With Sam Beam, who is also Iron and Wine, and you've talked to him like a million times, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sam is about a warm and down-to-earth human being as you're going to find. And his voice and his music has been with us for a couple of decades, which is wild to think about.
Crazy.
Since, you know, the very beginnings of Iron and Wine years ago. What I love so much about what Sam does is when he plays live, it doesn't matter if it's a setting like City Winery or if he's doing a 3,000-seat theater. He's always playing like he's a guest in your living room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And even in this, so this episode is a little different because Sam played an exclusive private show for us at City Winery. And you'll see, or you'll hear when you hear the songs in this episode, but you can also see it in the videos on YouTube. He just like chats to the audience like they're his family in his house.
Yeah. I mean, the whole time, I mean, he's a dad. So, I mean, I think that comes across and some of that humor comes across as well. But he's so intelligent, and I've always kind of looked at Sam's music, and this kind of came up in our conversation. It's all like where we look for relationship advice, because it's all about our connections and our relationships with other people, and it's almost as though we need Sam to sort it out for us.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, how should I feel about this? And he'll play a song, and go, oh, okay, now I know. that's how I should process this. He's just got that knack, and whether it is by design or just, you know, divine providence or whatever, I mean, it's just Sam being, you know, who he is, and it comes across so naturally.
Yeah, and we're going to hear three songs in this episode, and they're all going to be, you know, live songs from this exclusive show. What are we going to start with?
I think we would start here with the one that's probably most known to Sam and his fans, and that is Naked As We Came.
She says, wake up, it's no use pretending. I'll keep stealing, breathing her. Birds are leaving over autumn's ending. One of us will die inside these arms. Eyes wide open. Naked as we came, one will spread our ashes round the yard.
Whoa. So many notes you could possibly play on this guitar. It's nice to have options.
She says, if I leave before you, darling, don't you waste me in the ground. I lay smiling like a sleeping children. One of us will die inside these arms, eyes wide. Naked as we came. ashes round the yard. Around the yard. Around the yard. Around the yard.
There's a live one from City Winery, Iron and Wine. Russ Boris backstage with Sam Beam right now, catching up. Sam, thank you so much for sitting down and giving us a few minutes for FUV Live.
Thank you, Russ. It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Let's talk about, I don't usually start with the album title, but in this case, I have to. So the new album called Hen's Teeth. So, yeah. You know, I had to look this up because I wasn't familiar with the phrase. So I'm curious, one, could you explain what that means?
Sure.
But also, was there someone in your life who used this phrase that, you know, that you were partial to it?
I have heard it. No one close to me that I remember their name, but I've definitely heard it around. It means something that doesn't really exist. Like someone say, oh, that was rare as hen's teeth, meaning like it doesn't, you know, it's so rare that it doesn't exist at all. It's just a silly way to say that. I just always love the image. It sounds like an Iron and Wine record, doesn't it?
It certainly sounds like an Iron and Wine record. I didn't need to hear the record when I saw the title. I was like, I know where we're going here.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because you had done this record the same time as Lightverse.
Yeah.
So talk about that process. Was that intentional to work on the two albums at one time?
Well, no. I mean, I thought I was just making one. You know, you record as much as you can. I thought during the pandemic, I was having a lot of trouble writing I was having a lot of trouble finishing. So I had a lot of start, and I recorded them all in the first session that we did for Lightverse, which was about 2 weeks, I think we recorded. And then we kept on going back for about a year. We had like two or three, maybe four more sessions, shorter sessions, but I kept finishing songs. And so by the end of it, I had a lot of music. And so I decided to just keep most of the, like, there's a lot of orchestra stuff, like symphonic kind of stuff that's on Lightverse. Kept all those songs that we had the orchestra on those, because they all sound of a piece, you know, they're kind of intricate and ornate. And these were sort of the leftovers, but they also had their own kind of attitude. There was a lot more tropicalia, jazz kind of feel, and, you know, it just seemed like a nice gesture to not overwhelm people with too much music.
Remember there was that time where there was a lot of double albums coming out.
I do, man.
Yeah.
I do.
And they were not all great.
No, they were not.
There would be one great album.
Yeah.
But instead they were two so-so records.
Totally, yeah. You got to wade through a bunch of garbage to get the good stuff.
Well, thank you for not doing that to us.
I did it for you.
That's
did it for you.
It was very.
No, I remember. You remember when we were kids? They were like 8-song records. You know, like records were like 4 songs on a side.
Those were the days.
I know, right? Economy.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. If you could get, I always thought that the sweet spot was like a 35-minute record, and I was the happiest guy in the world.
Me too. You got stuff to do.
Yeah, well, people just think, you know, if you keep, more is not always better. I guess what it's easy to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it interesting though, in listening to this record, you know. Sometimes as you get later into an album, you know, it's there's filler towards the end. But I think in the case here, I want to say it's Grace Notes, right?
Oh, right.
Towards the end of the record. And
the wordy stuff.
Yeah, it's so amazing, you know, towards the end of the album.
Oh,
so
thank you.
When people listen to records so differently now, so do you still worry about the sequencing or try to figure out how you want to make that work?
I mean, I definitely think about the sequencing a lot. I don't worry about people actually listening to it, you know, because they're going to listen to a single or whatever. I make the sequence for the people who are going to listen to the whole thing anyway. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I definitely like to have it weave here and there. You know, you like to make a little, not necessarily a difficult obstacle course, but a place that a record that starts somewhere and has something, a little journey to go on and land somewhere else where you didn't think it was going to.
Sam Beam of Iron and Wine is our guest today. We'll hear another live song on FUV Live Sessions.
How's this song good? No, it's just like that. You guys are all sitting down, so I just figured I'd chill out and strummy, strum, strum. Mm-hmm.
anywhere I could, farther than the riverbed, deeper than the woods. With my naked eye, said I'm gonna find you. The night sky was nothing but stars. When it's all I can manage, despite how I try, somebody's looking where I like to hide. I remember the moon while I swim along the bottom. When I trust you, it isn't too hard. When I could give away everything I had, leave a whole dream in a brown paper bag. When the time went by, I said, man, that was easy. Like honey was laid in my hand. When I lied to myself, or I'm honest at best, or sell my whole story till none of it's left. When the sun goes down, like promises matter, when that's something I understand. When the ghost I like to deny has haunted me all of my life, singing all its songs in my corners and cobwebs, I let them follow me home. There's so many homes that I've known, so many lives that love has given me grace notes with meat on the bone. When I was being it, whatever it was, so brave or broken, but only just enough. When my self-respect cackled, what were you thinking? Till it walked off the edge of the world. When I kiss on a stone like they all roll away, or call upon my demons when I don't want to play. When I think of a cost like light from a diamond, like freedom feeling a pearl. When the garden I water with tears is beautiful this time of year, and all the blossoms fall when the petals get heavy, I let them follow me home. There's so many homes that I've known, so many lives that love has given me, grace notes with meat on the bone. Deny haunts you the rest of your life. When I would say it, though no one was around, or cry like some children at a carnival clown. Forever was a word, a name in the sidewalk, the wind blowing open a door. When I make what I'm missing, claim what I stole, when I live like I'm digging, just for filling in a hole. When I lose so much, I just burst into laughter, like someone who knows what it's for. When the day I pray never comes, presses me under its thumb. When all this water flows and every wave makes an ocean, I let them follow me home. There's so many homes that I've known, so many lives that love has given me, grace notes with meat on the bone.
Okay, you got through it. Thanks a lot, thank you.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, hen's teeth and sort of the interesting meaning behind that. But I always feel like there are certain themes that come up, you know, for you. And to me, it's about the, you know, the human relationship and trying to just solve all of those riddles and solve all those issues. But they're related in so many ways. You know, there's, you know, in your ocean, for instance, you know, bodies of water in relationship and love. Right, you know, I always feel like that's an interesting thing that comes up sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is it for you when you write, like, is it writing what you know, what you hope to know, what you're still trying to figure out?
Oh, it's all a bit of both. I never feel like I'm going to figure out anything. I feel like I have like the easiest job in the world. All you have to do is suggest connections and just let it hang there. You don't actually have to solve anything at all, which is very good for me. Yeah, it's a bit of all that stuff. You just sort of, I literally just start with a guitar and a little vocal melody, just play it enough where a word pops out, and then you start hanging other words on it, try to make like a little song building. It's the weirdest job. It doesn't make any sense, but you basically just get lost in your obsessions, whatever you think is interesting to talk about. By the end of it, you start get enough to edit things together. I tend to do a lot of relationship songs because it's, you know, if we're all honest, that's what we're obsessed with, you know, whatever, whether we're in one or out of one or sick of one, or, you know what I mean? You're always like dealing with whatever this in, you know, that sense of security and relationship with other people. And it's dramatic. It's inherently dramatic.
But you color it, though. You bring in the elements in nature. You know, we're talking about the bodies of water.
Yeah.
Birds. You know,
there's a lot of animals. Birds in there.
Like,
yeah.
They're bird songs. There's flightless birds, sure. But, you know, that's not the only
there's
one.
A lot
but,
of
I
mean, birds.
Yeah. Bird you read Robin's Egg or whatever. You know,
yeah.
There's a nature connection that I think also overlaps. I don't know if that's intentional
I like
or not.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I like physical things, objects, and things that carry a meaning. You know, one way or another, depending on the song. I also like talking about a relationship, but not staying there. You talk about that, and then you back up a little bit and talk about where the relationship is taking place. You know, other things that, you know, there's so much to talk about.
I do like that you were kind of ho-hum about the songwriting process, because I do want to point one out, and I'm going to refer, I'm checking my notes here because it's a new record. I don't know all the words yet. So
me
just,
neither.
I love this. Okay. So in Roses,
there's
a line in there. Honesty is an eight ball in the dark. Come on, Sam. Like, you gotta tell me that sometimes you sit back and you write something and you go, damn it, I am good at this. You have to, right? Like, there has to be some time where an eight ball, by the way, I'm assuming it's the magic eight ball. We're not going another direction, right?
You know, you have to bring to it what you have experienced and your personal experience.
Definitely magic eight.
You know, you look for whatever works, you know, you're always digging around for, and it's, you know, it's not like they just pop out. It's a process. You dig in and you, I mean, I'm sure there was like 10 other lines that started like honesty was a blank, 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 or something was a blank in the dark. And you keep switching around until you find the right one. Rarely are the first ideas the best. You just got to stick with it. That's why I'm not romantic about the process, because it's an ugly, long process.
Do you run it by somebody
else? It's a very unsexy process.
You know, if you have one of those situations where you're, you know, all right, here's five different versions of this.
Yeah.
You know, how do you edit that? Is that a producer? Is that a friend? Is that,
no,
you know?
No, you just, you know, I haven't really, I mean, that would be a good one. I usually bring it to the studio kind of done. You know, I've just looked at it too much, and, you know, you decide that you like it. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. That's the thing. It's not math. That's why it's a perfect job for me, because there's no right or wrong answer. Just do it until you like it enough, or you're sick of, like, working on it. You're like, yep, it's done.
And you're good as far as the audience is concerned. I mean, I've heard this from songwriters over the years, that it's sort of up to the listener to determine, you know, where these are.
The meaning
the songs.
Of them?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really write them to be like an essay on a topic. You know what I mean? It's not like over the course of this song, we're going to figure out, you know, A, B, C, and D. It's more of like an associative. I try to treat them like poems. You know what I mean? Where you're entering into this exchange with the writer, and the writer is entering an exchange with language, where it makes you interested and you're drawn into it. It doesn't necessarily mean like you're drawn into it because you figured out the answer to a question. You're just dealing with like connections, associations, contrasts, similarities, you know, just the world in general.
So you're telling me you don't have the answers? So we're listening to Iron the Wine Records listening to figure this? It out?
Why are you wasting my time?
And you're not leading us down the right path? I always feel like when I listen to one of your albums that it's that you just have this sense of being so incredibly centered.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I knew it. So we're rolling back the curtain here, and I feel like...
I think that has... Well, I mean, I do... I think it's that Remu that I'm talking about when we were talking about the subjects of the song. Sometimes you dig into like some really dramatic, hairy situation, but then you pull back and you talk about it in the broader, grander scope of, you know, what atmosphere, what environment it's in. And sometimes it feels a bit removed, like emotionally removed sometimes when you do that, and almost at peace. And also just the writing process for me in general is like a focusing, meditative thing. I also think it has a lot to do just the physical character of my voice. Like, I've literally tried singing over the top of like freaking out free jazz sax solos, and it'll become like a melody when I'm singing on it. It's
That's
like,
interesting.
It's crazy.
You bring, again, you center it all, whether you're attempting to or not.
I guess.
But I do think there's something to that. I think, you know, the audience has gravitated towards you because we're all looking for answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And in some way, some of us feel like you have them.
I do think it has a lot to do with just the physical quality of the voice, which I don't have very much to do with what I landed with. You know, it's frustrating sometimes because there's some things I would like to say that don't do well with this voice, but it's not
hard to discipline a child.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
You know, go brush your teeth when you're like, you need to go brush your teeth right now.
I am so angry at you.
Well, thank you. It was so great to catch up with you.
You too, man.
And thank you for doing this. We'll take us out with one more live song here on FUV Live.
All right, let's do another new song. Why not? You guys are all sitting down. Collective groan. All right, it's a new song. Okay, good. Hey, give me a beer. This one's called Singing Saw. You guys ever seen anybody play a singing saw? You know, with they play like the saw with the bow. Sounds like UFO noises and stuff. Just keep that mental picture in your mind. Missing though, I know that I'm still looking at the only place it ever used to be. Something's heavier than ever, something I was always counted on to carry fairly easily. Forever's talking to me in a way today that I don't understand. Something's flying right behind me. Something else has started falling from the palm of my hand. Days walk by like they don't know who you are. My flat tire won't roll away. My broken window's full of light anyway. My runaway dog has a new singing saw, they say. La 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 la. By the time it takes to do whatever I've been told that I should try to do, something tells me I gave away too much, or something I probably ought to hold on to. Days walk by like they don't know where to go. My flat tire won't roll away. My broken window's full of light anyway. My runaway a new singing saw, they say. Lie.
Thank you very much. Thanks for that.
That was Iron and Wine, performing and in conversation at City Winery in New York City for WFUV. A big thanks to Sam for joining us at City Winery, and thanks as well to Sub Pop Records. Thanks to the team at City Winery for hosting us, and to our technical director of live music, Jim O'Hara, for recording, mixing, and mastering the music you heard in this episode. Our FUV Live in-studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Ina Volovich. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live sessions wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Russ Boris.